Alright, hello everybody. Welcome to another episode of Bag is Bag. Hello, Lois.
Hi, Nife.
Well, we have Lois with us here today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Considering your busy schedule. With Bag is Bag, at the beginning of every episode, we play rounds of categories and the winner gets bragging rights. Some people have won like free tickets, you know, some people have won free lunch. But we can only afford bragging rights at this point in time. So we'll play like five rounds of categories.
Okay.
So for those who don't know, categories is a game where each player mentions an example of the category from the drawn deck of card. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whoever snoozes first, whoever cannot mention an example of the category has lost that round. Okay. So, shuffle. I'll start five rounds and we'll go. The category is martial arts. So any type, you know, it could be kung fu, it could be boxing.
So I'm supposed to mention any type.
Yeah, I mean, we'll go.
Okay.
And whoever fucks up first.
Okay.
All right. Jiu-jitsu.
Kickboxing.
Kung fu.
Taekwondo.
Karate.
That was a hard one.
I mean, that was a hard one. That was good. All right, your turn.
Okay.
You could pick for him anywhere, you know. And if you don't like it, you know, you can just...
Okay, the category is music streaming services.
Okay, let's go.
Apple.
Spotify.
AudioMac.
Deezer.
Ninja Loaded.
Boomplay.
It's okay, not just okay.com.
Amazon Music. Project your
voice. Okay.
Yeah. Draw it closer. Alright, let me pick from the middle here. The category is human organs.
Okay.
Let's go. Liver.
Heart.
Kidney.
Large intestine.
Brain.
Oh my god, I'm medicated. Sorry, one second. spot.
Just look around you. Just be
organs,
like, just
examine. I just organs.
Oh, you know. I win. So, your turn. We'll do five rounds.
No.
You don't like it? No. Okay.
This card. No, it's just too easy.
Let's do it. You want hard ones?
Okay, let's do the category is religion.
Okay.
Christianity.
Buddhism.
Judaism.
Islam.
Hinduism.
Zen monk.
Ekanka.
Babalawo.
Amadioha. I think I won this round.
You won this round. Okay, we give it to you.
All right.
Babalawo, religion. Wow.
Exactly.
Okay, let's take the last card. This one is somehow biscuit brands. No.
Yeah.
Okay, this one should be fun.
Okay.
The category is internet forums.
What do you mean forums?
Like, you know, Reddit, 4chan. Niger something.
Okay.
We'll skip that one. This one is nice.
Okay.
Lois should win this one because
I should.
If you don't.
If I don't,
I'll seize your phone if you don't. Already.
Yeah.
The category is messaging apps. Messaging apps that you know.
Okay.
iMessage.
Tugo.
WhatsApp.
Instagram.
Twitter DM.
Snapchat.
InstaChat.
Telegram.
Slack.
No, Teams.
Discord.
Notion. People use Notion.
Notion to chat. Use Notion to chat.
You put stuff on there. People respond. Your colleagues.
Oh, yeah?
That's you chatting now.
Actually, Notion comments.
You see?
Okay, I lost that round. So you keep your phone.
Come on.
All right. With that, we've come to the end of the categories round.
Yay!
It was 3-2, so, you know. But
I won the last round. People remember the last lap.
Yeah, he who wins last wins best.
There we
go. All right, so we just put our categories card back.
And you guys get categories. Very interesting game.
Yeah, super interesting, super fun. See, we had a lot of fun playing this.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into why we're here. You know, like I said in the beginning, we have Lois with us. I wouldn't do justice introducing Lois, but we'll give it to Lois to introduce herself here from the horse's mouth. So, Lois, my question to you today is, introduce yourself and what is your bag?
Hi, everyone. My name is Lois. I'm just a girl. but my name is Lois. I've been in Toronto since 2019. And my bag is working in traditional account management. A lot of companies call it customer success.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm also upcoming content creator. Not consistent, but we're trying.
I don't think you're upcoming. Like you do really good work.
But so I do content creation for the fun of it, and I just love it. So that's my bag.
Ah, sweet. You know, starting from the first one, account management and customer success. What does that entail? What's like the definition of that?
Okay, customer success is just a job title. Different industries call it different thing. I think like the tech companies, they turn the name. It's account management. So basically, you're just managing accounts.
Oh, what kind of accounts?
So it really depends on the company. Okay. You could be doing B2B. So let's say Amazon, for example. Amazon has B2B services and B2C. Those of you who don't know, B2B is business to business. So, you know, if a restaurant is using Amazon services, that's a B2B. So those of us that use Amazon Prime, that's B2C because we're clients, we're not businesses. So in Amazon, for example, there would be the customer success or account management teams, there will be in departments that work with just B2B accounts. So let's say different universities that use Amazon products, those are accounts. So that's what you do. You manage the relationship with them.
Okay.
And most of these accounts and most companies is always like a subscription-based kind of service. You pay for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of that service, you're making sure they want to renew, you upsell, you cross-sell. So that's what account management is rather just managing the accounts.
How does customer success come into play? Like, because from the name, customer success, just making sure your customers are successful. How does that play into account management?
So it's the same thing. It's just, like I said, it's just a title. It's like, I don't know the best, but account management is the traditional old term. Let me put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
So tech companies started coming up and they were like, you know what, let's not just call it account manager.
Sounds too boring.
Customer success. And some companies still use the word account management, so don't get it twisted. But customer success is basically managing accounts and making sure that your clients get value from the product that they purchase.
Okay.
So you are their go-to person. And a lot of people confuse it with customer service. They are not the same. So that is pretty much it. So you're driving adoption for the company. You have success plans that you customize based on the clients. So that success plan is, you know, after the sales guys are done selling to the customer, they hand them over to you. So you have this little, different companies once again do it differently. But in my experience, in my previous roles, one company would have a meeting with the sales team who would call it a kickoff meeting, introduce, you know, the client purchased the services for this. This is what they hope to achieve by the end of this year of using the services. Some companies, everything is so automated. You just go on Salesforce, for example, that's what you use.
Mm-hmm.
And the sales guys already impute all the details. They're like, what happened during the sales cycle, the transactions, what they're buying and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So your work is not to start with onboarding. So you get them onboarded on the platform. Onboarding could take from 30 to 60, 90 days. You get them onboarded with the platform. Sometimes you work with the implementations team. You have the technical team that make sure that our product is well integrated into the client's tech stack.
Oh, yeah.
So you do that. And once adoption is onboarding is great, so they start using the service, you manage and you monitor their services, their customer health. Are they using it very well? What's their logins? Have they had any open ticket issues and all those things? And you know, if they do, following up with the support team to or the technical team to handle those issues. And like I said, you drive adoption. So the usage, that's where your adoption metric comes from. So
adoption, can it also serve for existing clients or new clients?
Both. Your existing clients, you want to be, at the end of the day, you want to make sure they're using the product. Because yes, companies have, every company is a client of another company. You get what I mean? So we all have, I'm pretty sure those of us who work in the tech world, it's something called Okta, where you can see all your tech ties. And they, so you see, so those companies have their own customer success manager who's making sure that, hey, that you, I'm not just part of the Okta tech tiles, they're actually using it. So when we for customer success, you every company has your CRM, your customer relations or relationship management tool. There's a 1,001 in the market. Some companies use Salesforce, Gainsight, HubSpot, yada yada yada. Yeah, so when you log in there, you're able to see the usage, the metrics, are they happy, you know, and things like that you can pick up. And if they're not using it, you can always, you know, send them an email. Hey, is everything okay? I noticed in the past 30, 60 days, your utilization has been low. Is there something we need to do to get you up to speed? And if there is, you book that meeting, you go in with the technical team and do that. So that's what adoption is.
Oh, I see. Because you can have all these tools and then, you know, customers can buy them and use them, but if they're not using it right, there's a potential that they might even drop the tool because so you have to show them how to use it,
the
how
value.
To just pretty much how to be successful with the tool. I want to come back a little, not a little bit, maybe a far back. What kind of history or background prepared you for this role? How did you stumble upon the role? Is it your education that prepared you for the role, and how did you move into account management and customer success, like your history?
Education. So my background, I'm a pure business student. I have a bachelor's in business administration and 2 postgraduate diplomas, 1 in marketing management and international business management. I feel like when picking your education, especially in this day and age, this is to the young viewers, I'm not saying that there are other programs that I can't, that I am a firm believer of, there's so many ways to make money. And I feel like everybody downplay financial security. Like, yes, your passion is great, but will it fund your lifestyle? Will it sustain you? So that being said, I'm a business student, so I always tell my friends who are in the business, we can't work anywhere. If you put me in the morgue industry, the funeral industry, I can work there. I'm not restricted. But I was looking at the economy and, you know, tech, AI and everything, those are things that are currently, you know, coming up. Now, I don't think I have the patience to code or be a software engineer and all those good things. I have to find a way where I can be in that industry in the capacity that I can function very well. And I started from a lot of tech companies, the progression is to start with sales. Because for you to manage account, I mean, you also, you're kind of selling too to them. Like, because after a while, you want them to upsell, you want them to renew. Upselling means, let's say they buy Amazon Prime only, and you know, even in the banks. Okay, for example, how many of you have gone to the banks, you starting with 1 credit card, and after a while, your account manager is calling, oh, we have this new product. That's them upselling, cross-selling, upselling, whichever one it is. So you would need to have this experience, and the best way, I think, is to start with sales. So I started as a sales development representative for a tech company. Now, no shade to the sales guys and girls. I know you guys make money, it's good, but I don't like sales. It's not for me. I don't necessarily have the patience to sell to someone. Like, if you're not buying, then that's fine.
You want to come in where people have already bought.
So exactly. I wanted to come when they've already done all that work. But that's if you don't have an experience at all. Entry level, I think starting as a sales or business development rep is good. I had a goal. I told myself I was going to do that sales job for a year. And even before my 8-month mark, I was already job hunting for customer success role because okay. I worked with a lot of customer. I work in now as a customer success manager. I work with the sales guys because we always have this meeting. So in that role as a sales development representative, I got to see what they were doing. I network. I asked my colleagues that were customer success managers, what you guys do.
Okay.
So they would let me shadow them sometimes. So, you know, it made how I got the knowledge and it wasn't so different, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I started job hunting and I moved immediately.
So in your job hunting process, what is the typical interview process of a customer success manager? How was interviewing for you, and what would you say from all your experience interviewing? Mm-hmm. This is a common theme that cuts across, you know, all customer success management interviews.
Oh, that's a good question. I think one of the most reoccurring thing was they want to see how you can multitask.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are going, a typical customer success manager for a startup company, you will be managing minimum of 50 clients.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, a minimum. This is for a very small company. So.
Wow, that's a lot.
Exactly. So startups typically have like 200 plus clients. Or
for account. One person?
No, I'm saying startups in general.
Oh, okay.
So if you have like a 3-people CSM's customer success manager, if you have a 3-man team, split that. So you know, depending on the company. So at least minimum 50 plus. They want to see that you should be able to handle that. And so you also have what you call high touch accounts and low touch accounts. Those are some...
How do you define that?
What I was going to say, I think I've forgotten. But I know one of them is...
Yeah.
I don't know if it's high touch. I'm so sorry. I'm not at work at the moment. But one of them, you guys should just check the definition. But that's how you kind of... If you want to answer those questions.
Okay.
One of them... I think low touch, but one of them means clients that you don't necessarily have to check in constantly with.
Good. They have,
let's say if Amazon is my client, Amazon has a good technical team. So I'm pretty sure after onboarding, they don't really need me for anything because they have in-house tech guys and girls that would do those work.
Okay.
Now, the other one, I don't know if it's low touch or high touch, those are clients where you have to check on them. They're like babies. You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you have 50 accounts, some of them might be the needy ones. Some of them might be, I'm good. I don't really need you for anything. But still, a typical customer success interview, they want to see your account management. Like, how do you juggle? How do you manage your time? You know, we have 5 working days. How are you making sure things are not falling through the cracks? How you communicating once again internally with the product guys, the engineering guys, because we talk to you, those people.
What questions would they ask you to know that? Like, if you wanted to find out if I can multitask and handle 50 clients, what question would you ask me?
Oh, that's a good one. I would ask you what your book of business is.
My book of business.
So you see what Nifemi's face. Like when I started, like I said, I didn't necessarily have the experience. So I was learning for the better part of my interviews. It took me a year, everyone, but I was working. So I would take breaks within applications. But I had to learn the lingo. Like you work in software engineering.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you guys have your kind of
lingo that your fellow
you know, software guys should know.
See.
So I need to learn. So when someone says book of business, it's literally just asking you how many accounts you have.
That's
what it meant, but I didn't know that. And when I would go into this interview, like, so tell me what your book of business. And my book of business, I'm like, and I just knew they were not gonna call me back. But after that, I would research, and I'm like, okay, my book of business is 50. You could say I manage. So they'll ask you the number of accounts how much those accounts are. So if you're managing 50 accounts, how much is that entire? So it could be 5 million in revenue, 4 million in revenue. So you have to be good with your numbers. You have to know your numbers.
I see.
They would ask you if it's what type of accounts, B2B or B2C.
Okay.
If it's B2B, is it enterprise or commercial? Big accounts or strategic accounts are those really big accounts like Coca-Cola, Pepsi. Then you have the really SMEs, small scale medium businesses. So you have to know those terminologies and know structure your answers to answer that.
And Google search just helped you with this, or did you read something in particular?
Chat GPT girls and boys.
Oh yeah,
it worked. And I had a friend who I met on LinkedIn. And now we're very good friends. I would always give him the credit. I wouldn't be here without him. He is still a customer success manager, and I reached out to him on LinkedIn. He was a Nigerian. And I said, I'm trying to break into this industry. I don't have the customer success experience. I'm not getting interviews. What am I doing wrong? So he looked at my resume. He helped me redo it. And every time I would go into interviews, he would tell me to record. And I advise everyone to do that. Record the interviews on your phone voice recorder. And after the interviews, I would send it to him. He would listen to it. I was like, oh, you shouldn't have said that.
Oh, I see. So that's really good.
It was practice.
Oh, yeah.
And he was constantly coaching. And we had mock interviews. So he taught me the lingo and, you know, how to speak like a customer success manager.
Okay. So for your book of business now, moving into the amount of clients that you would manage, for a customer success manager, I imagine you would have a lot of meetings with all of these people. How do you now handle that workload? Say if you have like 50 clients, how do you manage that workload? How do you manage 50 clients, meeting with 50 clients? Let's say they are high touch, and I imagine high touch to be constantly, you know, being in touch with them. But how do you manage all of those accounts, make sure all of them are successful? And according to you, it seems like 50 is a small number.
It is. My most recent role, I was managing 160.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I think it's not really hard. Your CRM tool that you use plays a great, a ton.
What are the good CRM tools? You've mentioned some, but can you just go over them again?
I would say I don't want to give them free promo.
Okay. Oh, I see.
I would say I like Gainsight. And everybody uses Salesforce, but a lot of companies will use Salesforce and another CRM tool. But I do love Gainsight and Vitaly as well. But your tool plays a big part of your work. When you, let's say in the morning on Monday, you go into work and you open your CRM tool, depending on how, you know, your company structured that tool, you can see the account that are at risk.
Okay.
So you can literally see everything. It's this whole dashboard where you can see. So you kind of pick and choose. If I look at an account and it's healthy, and healthiness depends on the company. Like my previous company, we have what they call the risk metric. If I see that it's number 3 and it's at risk, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? And I go in.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have one system, the chances that all will be at risk is really absurd, meaning you guys' company's product is really terrible. So you don't even have...
Do they fetch this riskiness from the business itself? Are you monitoring how the tool is being used by the client?
Yeah, so you have their daily login. So how many... let's say your business was selling to security guys. So cybersecurity, anything that has to do with the security. So I can see, are they logging in? The cloud usage.
Oh, yeah.
The daily logins.
Oh, yeah.
How many... because it's an ingestion, how many data, how many gig of data has been ingested, what sources are they coming from, what distance, all those things that work can tell me, and it's what I can use to understand if they're using the tool.
Oh, so that means you have to be sort of data inclined to be a...
Not really, it's really just easy, everything's just fancy colors, the dashboard.
Oh, who sets up the dashboard for you, is it you?
The company. So when I got in, you know, they're like, oh, this is CRM tool we're using.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure our company internal tech guys have done the whole thing. Oh. So they just teach you, okay, this is what you should look out for. These are the metrics we use to measure. So you go in knowing what to look for.
Okay.
And so managing those 160 account, once again, I don't think anyone would speak to you. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
So your automation is really important. When you can pull the data and say, okay, this week, how many of my clients were in the reds? You can always mass send an email and say, oh, just reaching out, it's been a while. You can see your last communication. When was the last time you had any communication with that account?
Oh, yeah.
Or you can also see, did the sales guys reach out? Because sales are always pitching to someone.
Okay.
So sometimes some client will not even talk to you. They'll talk to the sales guys because those were their first contact with the company. Sold to them. Yeah. Sometimes the sales people will be like, oh, Lois, I spoke with client A, they have an issue on open ticket. Can you check with the tech guys to see what the hold up is? And I go on Jira.
Oh, yeah.
I see, okay, what's the status with this ticket? And, you know, kind of ping or Slack the tech person, like, hi, just checking in and things like that. So basically, you're not on me. Different companies are different.
Oh, yeah.
My most recent company, I didn't necessarily meet with my clients.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. In the past, you would, and that's if they need you.
Oh, yeah.
You're not just in meetings all day. Half my meetings were even with internal staff, like product teams, because we're always in product feedback and feature requests and all those things. If the client need you, they know where to find you. And then your major communications most times will be emails. And if you are handling, and I should say, customer success is very different. Like I said, I didn't like sales. Renewals and upselling and cross-selling, yeah. These are also part of the selling. Like, I'm good at it, but if I have my way, I don't want to do it. I don't think that makes sense.
It makes sense, yeah.
So in my current role, I didn't handle those things.
Oh, yeah.
We had a team who does all that.
Okay.
So depending on your company, some companies, the customer success does everything from onboarding to renewals.
Oh, I see.
Big companies like Amazon have an onboarding team. They have a customer success team and they have a renewals team.
Yeah, I don't think they'll probably have a technical sales team and then have like customer engineers. And
So that's what it
is. Also depends on how mature the company is. Is there any particular type of company you look for at your stage now? Do you look for any particular type of company or any particular type of industry that you're most interested in?
Yes, I actually want to leave customer success.
The industry, like maybe you like finance or you like
So are you asking, do I get to pick what type of clients?
No, do you get to what sort of industry do you like working in as a customer success manager? What products?
Products.
So do you like working on finance products? Do you like working on maybe HR products? That's for your company.
Honestly, I don't think I have any specification. Normally, I don't like the banks. I don't know. I think it's just in Nigerian things how we see bankers being poorly mistreated. So I've always had this. I never want to work for a bank. Yeah. I mean, if I want to, I want to come into it as a very senior entry level, kind of senior person.
Okay.
So I honestly don't care for the product. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, I see.
I feel like with the right training, I can understand any product.
Mm.
That's number one. Okay. And if I'm applying to these companies, when I do get an interview, I go on their website, snoop around. ChatGPT is always there. That's my twin sister. Use her a lot. And they will always train you. I think that's what people forget. I think a lot of people think you need to go in being a perfectionist. Companies will always train you.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you have... Yeah, obviously, they're hiring you because you have a certain skill they want.
Okay.
But they will need to train you to understand their internal workings. This is how we do things. Like, customer success, I've worked in a couple companies, and they all do things very differently. And I'm like, my previous role, they didn't... And they're like, that's what we do here. Okay.
Okay.
I'm on board.
I see. You also have to be a fast learner. I see. For anyone entering, you've spoken about some advices, and I wanted to know, for anyone entering customer success now, what other things do you think they should focus on that you've not mentioned?
Like, if they want to move on from it?
No, if they want to move into it.
If you already have... I think I should also say that different industries call customer success different things.
Okay.
So if you're working for hospitals, you can't be pitching to patients, right?
Oh, I see.
You get what I mean? So hospitals will call their form of customer success donor relations. So a lot of people, hospitals get their money from the government, then people who donate. So just rich families and stuff. They need people to manage these families. So let's say the company is, hospital is in an event, they call it donor relations.
Oh, okay.
Certain industries will call it engagement manager. Engaging with this. So it's really different. Depending on, I feel like I don't want everybody to focus on tech. There's so many versions of customer success that they just call it different names in different industry. Hospitals, like I said, is one. Educations will call it like universities. I think there's some rules I saw recently. They were calling it student admission something. And I was like, and then I read the job description. I'm like, this is customer success.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to really read the job. Like, don't pay attention to the title. Pay attention to the job description. So once you figure out, let me speak to my new immigrants. You have work experience from Nigeria, for example. You were working in a hotel in Nigeria.
Okay.
Because I worked in a hotel, and that was one of the ways when I was working at that hotel, my job, obviously I was a receptionist, front desk officer, but my job was to handle big clients. So we used to have Slumberger, if they're doing something in Warri, they would lodge their clients there. Yeah. So that was what I was doing. I was managing those clients.
Okay.
So if you're from ABC company, I'll handle you.
Okay.
That's you managing an account already.
Oh yeah, but
it's really how you look at it. Oh, yeah. Femi. Even if it's customer service where you receive people are calling in and you're answering 10, 20, 30 calls a day.
Oh yeah.
If I want to phrase that customer service experience as a customer success,
yeah.
Let's say as a customer service, I used to receive 100 calls a day.
Okay.
I would say I managed 100 clients.
Oh yeah.
To boost client satisfaction.
I see.
Increase revenue because you're making money for that mm-hmm. company.
Yeah.
And that is really just flip it. It's really how you look at it.
How you look at it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're managing something.
I see. I used to help people like edit their resumes in the past, and I've kind of seen that people do a lot of great work, but they can't really carve out
what they did
into something super interesting that relates to what they are doing. And some people think you are lying on your resume, but you're not lying because you actually did that work. Yeah, you did that work. So, you know, for customer people trying to enter the field now, look at your experience, maybe tell yourself the story about the experience and then see how it relates to
flip the lingo.
Yeah, flip the lingo.
And I think don't pay attention. A lot of people are so stuck on the job title. Like, read the description, guys. My current role, I saw it and I saw the job title and I'm like, oh, I can't do it. And I swiped. It was my friend who sent it to me. Oh, Lois, I think you're done. I'm like, oh, I saw it. She was like, did you read it? I was like, yeah, I didn't even take my own advice. So I read it. I'm like, oh, okay. That's my thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's one. Really, if you've worked in any capacity where you were interacting, because customer success is a customer facing role.
Mm-hmm.
You are actively interacting with clients and you're actively interacting internally.
Okay.
I mean, we're working with somebody. So if you've ever had to deal with people, external people, so clients, stakeholders or whatnot, you can't transition to customer success. You just have to flip the lingo and don't see yourself as, oh, I did customer service.
Okay.
No, even if you're a sales girl, you're selling in Sephora, you're managing those clients. You're managing the expectations. You're making sure they come back, and that's you bringing revenue for Sephora.
Oh, yeah.
You're making sure that they understand how to use Sephora products if they go on the app. How you know how to see your past product. Recently, I went to Sephora and they were telling me, "Oh, they can do the skin match and it can be saved." And I'm like, that salesperson on the floor is driving adoption for them already.
Yeah,
it's just really how you flip the lingo.
I see. You know, final question on the subject, but I wanted to know from your perspective, what's the future of this role? How is the role like evolving as you see it today? Where is it going to?
That's scary because AI is really. I've had a couple colleagues that I've gotten laid over because there are new CRM tools that are kind of doing the work that you should do. So if you have like a 6-man customer success team, with the way things are going, you just need one person if you have the right tool.
AI would take care of like 1,000 clients.
1,001, literally automated and everything. So for me, like the way I structured my career path overall, I'm always moving. Like I said, I want to leave customer success. And with the great thing with customer success, you can literally go into anywhere. If you want to go into project management, because you've handled projects, you've handled clients. If the company was putting out a new product release, you will always be on those meetings because you have to engage with the clients and how to use that new product feature. So a lot of customer success manager will either move into project management, product. Now, if you love work, currently working with a lot of tech guys, I've been loving the tech aspect. So I really want to get much more technical. So I'm taking some AWS classes, but you can move into product. Some people become solutions engineer. Just want to work with the sales guys to kind of make the client understand they're working mostly in the pre-sale. So let's say I want to buy this printer, the sales guys will be the ones to walk me through this. Solutions engineer walk me through the technicality of that printer. What does the printer do? I have to troubleshoot it, and if I like, then I purchase. So you can go into solutions engineering, you can go into operations, which that's what I like. Operations, you could do a ton of. So I think the thing is to move, always be learning. And even if AI is taking a lot of things, if you there's something a colleague of mine pitched to me that she's doing, and I love it for her. We're seeing that AI is taking over, and we got a new CRM. She wants to take a certification that kind of to understand that CRM. So she's now, if there's something broken with that with the software, she'll be the one to fix it. Now that's money for my company instead of them going to pay somebody. So they just kind of added it to her. I know she's going to renegotiate and do a lot of things.
Okay.
That's one way to position yourself. Okay, now I'm Salesforce administrator and a customer success manager. You wouldn't want to fire me because I know how to do the use this app so good that if it's broken anything, you don't have to run, you know, I'm already doing that job for you.
I feel
that's a way to put it. Well, you can, the good thing about customer success for people with non-technical background like me, I'm a business student, it is a very good entryway into a lot of things.
Oh, I see.
If you want to be in that tech space,
so it opens your world
up.
Oh,
it does.
Speaking of opening your world up, you moved into a world of influencing. No, not influencing per se, but content creation.
Yeah.
But I mean, you influence. Like, you influence me sometimes.
I
see your content and I'm like, I'm influenced. But
thank you.
How did you fall in love with that? Because when, you know, for as long as we've known each other, you did not start content creation.
Yeah.
I kind of saw when you started and then how much you've grown. I remember one of the first videos you put out.
Yeah.
And you were just showing your shower gel or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, this is such a good video. Yeah, this is such a good video.
Oh, that was a terrible video.
No, I mean, then I look at, I'm like, these angles are crazy. Yeah. Like, how are you, did you use your phone for this? And your hand was stable.
Yeah.
So what made you interested in content creation? Why did you move into that line of bag? What do you like about it?
I've just always loved the camera lifestyle, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's also a form of entertainment, you know.
Okay.
Just the creative process, like I see something, I'm like, oh my god, I could make a content out of this.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, I just liked it.
Okay.
I've always known how to take my friends' pictures. Let's start from there.
I see. So yeah, that I'm friend.
It's annoying because they never. They've been doing good. Let me stop there.
You've been training them.
Yeah, but if we go out, I'm always the one taking pictures, and I will get the right. I will just do it right. I'm like, oh my god, thank you. So everybody, oh, Lois, take my picture. So when COVID started, this app Thriller that was quite popular.
Oh, yeah.
I used to dance on there and just, those are weird videos. I cringe when I look at them. But I'm not even doing it from like, influencing, because influencing means you actually, you know, you need to influence people and you need to get paid.
Oh, yeah.
I just love the creative juices from having an idea in my head and just seeing it come out the way I want. And it's kind of a lot of work. Like I said, the angles, the lighting. And it took me a while to get my hands very stable because I always used to move.
Okay.
And picking the right song, I think that's even the hardest part. And having the music to match. If it's not something I'm doing a voiceover, how does this music kind of sell the vibe I wanted to have?
Are you still having the problem of picking music, or you found your way around it?
I spend a lot of time. So I have sound saved.
Oh, okay.
Like and TikTok is a very big part, to be honest. Half of the things I've learned on editing videos is really on TikTok.
Okay.
I see other creators, I'm like, okay, and the nice people who show you how to do it. And I'm like, okay, I save it.
Mm-hmm.
I take random videos at home and I practice and practice and I get the how to edit that video. And I'm like, okay, when next I have a content, I would put it in it. And I also, I just love I'm not there yet, like Nat Geo White and all those good things, but I've always loved TV. So it just translated, it was easy, and honestly, I just like it. I honestly don't know why. I just picked it up, and I use my phone. I borrowed my friend's camera one time, and it was just too many buttons, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is not going to work. Let me just stick with the iPhone.
So you just use your phone. I know you've shown me some settings in the past. You're like, oh, do this to get this video. Was that easy for you, or did you have to master that over a certain period of time?
The softwares themselves are constantly evolving. So, okay. And I think that's why TikTok is my learning board. Like, on my TikTok, you can save... On TikTok, you can save videos. So I have, like, different folders of... If I need editing videos, hairstyle videos and things like that.
Okay.
So I'm constantly... Like, I use CapCut and it's really easy to use.
Okay.
So easy. And like I said, CapCut is constantly evolving. And that's not the premium where you have to pay, but it's free. Certain features are still free. I still use the free version. And the most important thing is clean your cameras, guys. You will be surprised how people just pick up your phone. I'm like, clean the goddamn camera.
Just clean it first.
Like. Clean it very well. You'll be surprised how much difference makes.
Yeah.
And steady hands. Your phone is already there. Increase. You know, when you click on the iPhone, it has that kind of sun thingy.
Oh, the exposure.
So you can just
increase,
and it just makes a ton of difference.
Yeah. So, I see. So moving to TikTok, I know you have some viral videos. You've created like a lot of content on TikTok, even more than Instagram, like way more than Instagram.
Because they're two different apps. Like Instagram is very aesthetic. You have to be perfect. And sometimes I don't have the time for that, to be honest.
Okay.
But TikTok is like you can be yourself. You can just come. The videos don't have to be pretty. It does. You just come as you are. And
just put it out
there. People will love the engagement regardless.
And for your viral videos, what has made them viral? Because I've had maybe one or two viral videos for my DJ duo page.
Yeah.
And I think the ones that were viral were just videos that weren't edited. Like, it was just the video. It was just, you know, someone held the camera, took the video, and then we just cut the video that way and posted it. For you, what has made maybe your videos viral, or what kind of video would you say is...
That's a two-part question, because some of the videos that have been viral, I didn't even like them. And I think as creators, if you're putting out content, regardless, if you don't want to call yourself a content creator, if you're putting out content, you would be... I've learned that, okay... I'm putting it out there. Like, we edit it based on our view.
Yeah.
But you're not doing it for yourself. Like, you have to take yourself outside of yourself and look at it as a consumer. People who would look at... Sometimes I would edit and I'll go to my housemate phone. I'm like, can I see the corner? I watch it from her POV.
Okay.
How does it look on her phone? The sound? So I'm like, okay... Yes, I did this. I edited, I cut the video, put the music, but I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for others. So what is their POV like?
Okay.
How would they... And sometimes the videos where I even like, oh my God, I don't like these videos. That's what I do so well. I'm like, what do people like in this picture? What do people like in this video?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't even try to I don't deep it too much. I just do a good job.
Okay.
And if it blows, it blows. And what type of I think is also what resonates with people.
Mm-hmm.
The few videos I have on TikTok are like 12K views.
Okay.
They were all talking about career. And I know the job market is crazy.
Oh.
People are looking for jobs. So, of course, it was going to get viral.
Yeah.
And that was when I was talking about my job hunting process. And I think on TikTok, I became known for that kind of career thing.
Oh.
But there also...
Did it feel like it was going to box you? Or?
Yeah, it did box me. I'm trying to break out of the box. Like, there's more things I want to do about... I want to talk about just even working remote. I see a lot of people glamorize this remote life. I wake up in the morning, I make my bed, I'm doing my hair, I'm going into remote work with 4-piece suit. I'm like, that is so false.
Yeah.
And so I looked around, I didn't see anybody who was making remote life just what it is. Really chilled, you're working from home, you don't you're probably wearing a nice shirt above, but down you're not even wearing pants, you're just comfortable. I wanted relatable content. I felt everything out there is too, I don't want to say fake, but it's not sustainable. Nobody can do that every day. So I wanted the realness of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I started putting myself out there. If I'm not saying it, I might as well just do it.
Uh-huh.
So the viral videos were those career videos that did well.
Okay.
And I'm going to give a shout out to Kinda Day. She's like, she's like, whatever. So I'm fangirling right now. But she's a tech career babe who has been able to balance doing career content, fashion content, life content, just living.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I want to do. Like, yes, I'm going to give you a little bit of nuggets, but I also have a fashion side to myself.
Yeah.
I also have a makeup side, skincare side, fitness side.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Christian side to me. Yeah. So
I see you do all of it. So yeah. Into the bag aspect of it, you've had some people like reach out to you, or mm-hmm. I've seen you in spaces, or I've seen you work for other brands.
Yeah.
How have you stumbled into that, making content for other people? How did they reach out to you, or how did you reach out to them? You know, what put you in that
mm-hmm.
mode of collecting money for doing this? And was it comfortable for you entering that, since you do it for fun?
Yes, it was, because I didn't know how to kind of put a price on what I was doing. I remember when I was talking to a well-known content creator in Canada here, and I told her how much, and she's like, she was livid, like, oh, hell no, that's so small, why would you take that? That's even nothing. Like, she was so upset. I'm like, oh. So I do it for fun. The people I've gotten to work with is word of mouth.
Okay.
And shout out to Nefemi, he's one of the first people that.
Yeah.
So I always give you accolades for that, for supporting and believing in me. Right. But aside you, most of the people I've worked with was word of mouth. And thank you to everyone who keeps pushing it. But even working with brands, to be honest, I kind of get discouraged. You reach out to brands and they don't even answer. But I'm not even, like, if anyone follows me, that's in my content, I'm not necessarily even doing skincare, because I kind of paused that for a while. So I'm just doing, like, basically my day-to-day life.
Okay.
And if it resonates with anyone, fine. If you want to pay me to, you know, come shoot your event or BTS, behind the scenes stuff, I'm willing to do all that.
Okay.
But, like, currently, my current headspace, I'm so focused on my career that I'm not even giving the money side of content a try, because it's a lot of work. Like, when I was actually actively pitching to brands, like, I would sit on my laptop on Saturday, open Instagram and DM brands, like 50 brands on a Saturday morning.
That's where your experience on customer success
might, you see. So I was having to juggle that, and I had to create a new email, and I'll reach out to them on TikToks.
Okay.
And a very smart lady once said, if you put a lot of thought into it, you kind of get discouraged because you're not getting the views. You know, sometimes it's kind of, so you have to remind yourself why you're doing it. If you're doing it for a business, hey, kudos. Like, it's a lot of work, and I respect those people who get paid, because editing videos is not easy. Like, so, but if you're just doing it for the fun of it, do it for the fun of it. And if a bug comes across your way, yes, I would obviously want to take it serious in terms of the money making aspect, like, but not this year. That's something we'll do next year.
That's cool. But, you know, I know with content creation, and similar to other creative fields, it's, you first start out with maybe like a goal or like an intention, like you said, but it should be something sustainable and something fun for you.
Yeah.
And with most creative fields, you have to do it for, be consistent with it for a while. And then if the payoff comes, it's always sort of like at once. Like, it starts out like at once. You know, people posting content for a while, and then one viral video, and then people are now, you know, following their content and their story. And so what's the future? You know, I mean, you said you start out next year, but what's the future of content creating for you?
It's just, I want to create a space that everyone, you don't feel like you have to do a certain kind of thing to fit in.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we all have creators who look up to, not like necessarily look up to, like, you love their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you kind of admire the stuff. And I just want to, like, just make, be attainable, be real. I think that's what I feel like content creation, if you're doing it, they promote it. And a lot of these apps, I'm glad they do it. You can see the paid partnership there. So we know that this person is collecting for the coin.
Okay.
And the creators who like the product and are just talking about it, we all do.
Oh, yeah.
But just being relatable, because whether you like it or not, there are people out there watching you. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can say you don't owe it to anybody, that I didn't ask them to, you know, look at me and be inspired by me. But hey, you always want to put yourself in those super situations and thinking, oh my God, this is attainable. Do I have to do something? Like, no. If you even want to create content out there, you just have to pick up your camera, clean your camera, and keep shooting. Start with your friends, take videos in your house.
Okay.
just learn and change the lighting, the exposure. You don't need any fancy tool. You just need, if you need anything, just one lighting and a light and tripod.
Okay.
And keep doing it. You will be fine. And the future for me, I want to actually get to shoot certain celebrities. I feel like they are so fun, but they don't necessarily want to shoot outside of them in a way.
Oh.
And if they allow it, just be like they're their homebody, kind of just chill.
Oh, okay, and just chill with them and just, you know, what just a, take
people
like
are curious, like
random content.
As fans, as consumers, mm-hmm. what does this person's day in the life look like? I know it's not going to be the same every day, but when they wake up, what's the first thing they do? Do they just stay on their bed and press their phone? Do they pray? Do they eat breakfast like 6 a.m.? You know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want them to have to feel like they have to plan their whole day around the, like, let's just be freestyle.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
Those kind of videos, and probably to work with her, to have my own kind of channel. Podcast or be something television or whatnot.
That portrays that kind
that,
of
that does seeing yourself in people that you look up to. Even a president. What does a president do on a daily? On a random Saturday?
Yeah.
Does the 9-to-5 apply to a president? I've thought about that. Like, what does a president's life look like? Like, they apply for the job.
Yeah.
They got the job.
Yeah.
Do they clock out like we do? You know, do they... What do they do?
Oh, I see.
So, all those kind of things. I feel like it will help... It helps them. People seeing that, okay, this person is just like me too.
Oh, okay.
You know... Yes, I think the money that separates us, but they breathe the same air, the same blood flowing. You know, it'd be nice. And just kind of things, just creative juices.
Okay. Thank you so much for this wonderful episode.
Yeah.
I had so much fun listening to you. Like, you dropped so many nuggets. And I've learned so much about customer success, learned about what content creation means to you, and the kind of goal or the kind of content you want to shoot, like, or create in the future.
Yeah.
You know, we've come to the end of this episode. Is there any last words you have for...
I think my last words would be, if you're listening, you're doing just fine.
Oh, sweet.
You're really doing just fine. It may not look like it, but you're better than someone out there that probably does, you know, someone wants to even be where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all just winging it. Like I said, I'm just wearing, this is me. But there's a way I can pick up the camera and make it cute little angles and other things. And it will look so fine.
Yeah.
And it's just
the
camera.
Yeah.
So, you know, while just winging it, number one, I told myself there's no career I can't do. If I really want to be a doctor today, I just have to go back to school.
Oh, yeah.
I always walk into every room and be like, I'm the baddest bee there.
Yeah.
I know what is. Yeah. I know my onions,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot intimidate me.
Okay.
Even if I may be intimidated, I won't let you see it. And don't be afraid to ask questions. It might look stupid, but what's the worst they'll say no to your answer your question or yes? And hey, you've learned regardless. Don't be afraid to ask questions. I know for a lot of people that are introverts, they don't know how to strike up conversations, they don't know how to talk to people. But if you have a question, I mean, communication is different. You can message them, you can Slack them, you can DM them. And if you really want to go into any field, I think my breaking into any field, applying blindly would not help.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I know, like I said, no one likes to talk, but find people in those feeds. They could be in your church. They could be on LinkedIn. Hey, they don't respond to your message on LinkedIn. Keep finding. Keep screaming. Like, hey, I want to go into this. And when you find someone who responds to you, ask them all the questions you can think of. What does their day look like? What's the recurring language in that team? In that, what do they do? YouTube is there. TikTok is there.
Yeah.
That people who do day in the life of a product manager, day in the life of a tech, you know, watch those videos.
Yeah.
They're really helpful. And yeah, you can do anything. If you need to take certifications, and that's something I didn't talk about. Those people who sell these programs, break into tech, take this program for 6 weeks.
I see you.
Let me even comfort them. But before you take any certification, make sure it's even something that's recognized globally, like ICANN, PMP. Those are certifications that it's recognized globally.
Not get into tech
in 6 weeks certifications. Like, let's be real. But yeah, that's fine. You know, we'll be fine.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for having me.
End of the episode. Thank you for listening thus far.
Yeah.
We will catch you in the next episode.
Same time, same place.
Bye.
Bye.